Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Dallas Cowboys season begins in 30 days. Can they score 30 points per game? Now, shout out to DallasCowboys.com. Had asked this question for 31 days, and I was like, let's make it a more even number. And that was yesterday. So, here the Cowboys. Well, before we get into the numbers, do you think that that can be done?
No.
I don't.
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out exactly how to look at this appropriately, because you scored 41 against Philly, 44 against New York Giants.
Yep.
43 against the Falcons, 56 against Washington, and then 51 against the Eagles. I don't think your division's going to be that poor again this year, where you own them that way without some of the offensive weapons that you gave up last year and one of the defensive weapons. Now, maybe Sam Williams does replace Randy Gregory in a different role. Not the same kind of player, if you will, because Randy Gregory is a bouncy kind of guy, whereas Sam Williams is like he's a brawler, right? But I'm looking, Kevin, I've been looking at this. They were the only team to score 30 points a game last year.
That is true.
Tampa Bay was at 29.9.
Oh, I had them at 30.2. I just had it.
I have it. This is on teamrankings.com. So maybe they scored some.
On ESPN, there were only two. It says 30.1 for Tampa, but maybe math-wise, they scored 511 points.
Okay.
So that would.
I mean, that hits the mark.
But there were only two.
Okay, according to team rankings, only two got it in 2020, and that would be Green Bay, Tampa Bay. Buffalo was at 29.9. In 2019, one team scored 30 points. So you see what I'm saying is, on average, two to three teams score, and it's actually closer to one and a half teams score over 30 a game. I don't see the Cowboys being it this year.
Okay. Now, you were right about that trend.
I can't believe the Cowboys scored the most last year.
I know. And
they had some big games last year.
Unfortunately, because of the way the games were playing out, they were on pace to score the most the year before as well. So check this out. So these are years in the Dak Prescott pantheon of his career. Is 2016, Cowboys were fifth, 26.3 points per game. And we hit some of the dark times from the 2017, 14th, 2018, 23rd, then back to 2019, 6th, 27.1 points per game. All right, we're moving in the right direction. 2020, they were 17th in points. However, when Dak was on the field, if you want to count the four games, 31.5 points per game. You want to count the five games, 32.6 points per game. Now, is that also because they fell way behind and then the defenses quit caring? Fair enough. I would certainly listen to that. Last year, number one, as you brought up, 31.2 points per game. So the last 2 years that Dak was out there, one partial, one full, the team has scored at least 30 points. And I guess maybe that should be the question. It's not can the offense score 30 points per game, can the team score 30 points per game? Because whether it was special teams or defense, you had a plethora of non-offensive points put on the board as well.
Yeah, and man, CeeDee Lamb did have 1,100 yards last year. It was only six touchdowns, but he did have 1,100 yards. And then Amari Cooper probably could have gotten that. I don't know, maybe both of them are 1,000-yard receivers, but we were expecting three 1,000-yard receivers last year.
Yeah.
Schultz ends up being probably your best target because he had 800, almost, you know, he's close there, and eight touchdowns. But the touchdowns, I guess if you're sitting there going, well, I mean, who are the targets? Who's he working with? Everybody. Like, that's what Dak did last year. He spread the love to everybody had touchdowns, man. So I think there are plenty of opportunities for Dak, who had 37, which was his career high for touchdowns, to do that again. But they did take advantage of some very, very bad teams last year. And yes. Does their schedule?
I think at least two of those teams in division at least will be god awful again.
I have trouble looking at the Cowboys schedule and saying they're going to be under 500 with how weak their schedule looks on paper.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to pick them to be 9-8 or 10-7 just based off of how weak their schedule is. So they could rack up some points. You know, it's interesting too on this. Well, hey, Dak Prescott, let him cook, and he's so great, especially when he has great games. Last year, Dak had 5 300-yard games or more. In those games, the Cowboys were 3-2.
Wow.
Because they're kind of comeback games.
Yeah.
Right? When Dak throws for a lot of yards, we're losing, and we're trying to come back. So all of a sudden, the defense maybe gives you a little bit more of, hey, we'll let you throw underneath for 10 to 20 yards type of deal, and then he racks up 80-yard drives with almost all 80 yards of them being a passing situation. So I'm not saying Dak is bad. Dak is a good quarterback. I want to make sure people understand Dak's a good quarterback. A lot of times when he has big games, it's because we're losing and having to come back, and we're about 50-50 in those situations.
Yeah, the team did seem to fare last year at least better when he was in the 200 to 250 range.
Yeah.
Rather than the 325 to 389 to 400 range, which, like, that's cool. You get to talk about Dak threw for 500 yards. That's amazing. This is awesome. But you don't really want that to be the case unless, like, you're just running away with games every night. You know, if you're running away with games and teams can't keep up with you, then we're good.
Okay, and so that is an interesting way to look at it as well. So let me ask you, since you were talking about what the record will be, Adam Schein put out a Schein 9, and these are the top 9 offenses in the league. Now, we kind of did this in terms of, will these teams be better than the Cowboys? Do you think, just theoretically, on paper, into the season, you feel comfortable saying you think Buffalo's offense will be better than the Cowboys?
Yep. I think so.
Okay. What about the Chargers?
I think so. I think they have arguably the best quarterback in 2022. So,
Buffalo is 1. Chargers are 2. I'm going in order.
I will say that I feel if the Chargers defense is better this year, which that could be a big smoke and mirrors show for me this year.
That's true.
But if it is better, I think that offense will be better as well.
The Rams.
Man, I don't know.
So. I mean, Stafford's, I think they have the smartest.
I think that might be an issue.
To your point, I agree. But they do, to me, I think Sean McVay is the smartest offensive coach in the NFL.
Okay, and I can see that. All right, so we're good. For the most part, we're good with those 3 so far. What about the Raiders?
I don't know.
Because obviously, they have Waller huge and Adams.
Change. Yeah. Waller Jacobs had a good rookie year. But I would just think, and you said Waller.
Yeah, Waller has a hamstring
injury. He seems
to be
a guy that misses 3 to 5 games a year, right? Am I right about that? I'm just thinking about fantasy football where you're like, oh, I'm going to hope that Waller's missing this game, and there's a 20% chance he does. So I think it's 50-50. Right there.
Okay, we'll put that in the maybe category.
I'll throw this in that conversation. When we talked with CeeDee Lamb last week, he brought up, you know, he was like, look, Aaron Rodgers is great, but you got to study the way Devontae Adams runs a route. He's that good of a receiver. So if he's that good, the Raiders were middle of the pack in points per game last year. And, like, they had lots of yards, but points per game, I would say – I don't believe that they are better than the Cowboys offensively yet.
Okay.
But that could definitely change when Devontae Adams is on the field.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
I think they will be.
I do too.
Their offensive line is still...
They don't have a right tackle.
Average at best, right? And they were below average last year, but a below average offensive line. I mean, at the end of the year, Joe Burrow was like, I don't care that we're not a good offensive line. I'm still going to destroy teams.
Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah.
I think they are.
Me too.
I mean, we'll find out
in
week 1.
Assuming not a shocking whatever is happening with Brady. All right.
Could you imagine if Tom Brady re-retired like in a couple weeks?
That is one of the rumors.
They only ran for 98 yards last year per game. Do you understand that? Like, the Cowboys were at 124. The Bills were at 129. They ran for 98.4 yards per game while they're out there chucking the ball around for like 307 a game. So that, to what Mike's talking about with Dak, Tom Brady's like, it's fine. I can be the guy. I'll take care of it.
The Minnesota Vikings.
I don't think so. I get their wide receiver combination.
Yeah, I love that.
Kirk Cousins is a noon player.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook is a really good running back. I'm curious to see what they do offensively this year.
How confident are we in Dalvin Cook staying healthy, too?
He will.
Oh, yeah, 0%.
Okay. So that's the second team on the list, and I'm like, nah, I don't know. Kansas City Chiefs.
I think they are. I was surprised that it took this long
Eight.
To get to them.
Yeah.
Who will be their elite receiver this year?
I mean, I think Kelce will be their main guy, but if you're saying
Juju
receiver, that's
maybe?
A different position if you're looking at it that way.
Yeah, Juju is one. I actually forgot that in his second season, he caught for 1,400 yards.
Yeah.
Juju has a high-end capability. Not saying necessarily that's going to be incredible, but like within that offense and if he's funneled enough targets, that could be something that is useful for him.
I wonder what they think about the kid they drafted first round, Hardman. Is that
Mecole Hardman?
Yeah. I think
it's his third year or fourth year.
I think it's his third year.
I think he was more an insurance policy for Tyreek in the idea that, hey, that's just another dude with speed without fully considering the ways in which Tyreek Hill utilized that speed, and you can't just get any old speed. But they do have a lot of speed with Mecole Hardman, and they went and got Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Like, I think that they have some of that stuff. I just don't know that that necessarily will be a full replacement for Tyreek. I think they're also switching their team a little bit. I think they're going to run the ball more.
Now,
they have a really good offense.
Did he get Ronald Jones? You know, we're fans of Ronald Jones.
That is true, but I've heard his very tenuous hold on being there. And then Denver. And the reason why I want to bring up Denver is ninth on this list, which means while we were asking this question for the team that led the league in scoring in 20 before Dak got hurt, led the league in scoring last year, they're not even in the top nine here. And I think there's probably two, maybe three questionable ones. I know Denver has all of the younger wide receivers, and if they put it all together, we'll see what that looks like. But here's one spot, and it's just one person's opinion, where they don't even have the Cowboys in the top nine, let alone trying to make a run at 30 points per game. And I see a whole lot of people who are kind of in that same vein, and part of it's Dak, but then part of it is, how are you ever supposed to be top 10 in points per game when you have that lowly rated of an offensive coordinator? So like, some people have turned their ire on Dak, some people have turned it on Zeke, some people have turned it on the offensive coordinator. So the ire goes for a whole lot of people, but there does not seem to be a whole lot of positivity on the fan text that they're going to get into that 30-point conversation again.
Maybe Kellen Moore is creative enough to overcome some of the losses that they had on their offense. Maybe Amari Cooper isn't that big of a deal. And they're like, you know what? We can CD's ready. And you know, when Michael Gallup does get back, everything's going to be just fine. And we'll be able to, you know, utilize Tony Pollard in secret effective ways this year that you guys just did not expect. And maybe they will push the ball down. There are a lot of things that could happen. I'm just trying to figure out how they're going to get this thing to crank.
Maybe at the end of the year, we play two chumps and we score 107 points. that's what we did against Washington and Philadelphia.
That is a huge factor in that.
No, I'm absolutely with you on that. And then also, like I said earlier, the non-offensive touchdowns made a big difference as well.
I'm very curious about Denver because, Mike, I'm strongly considering overdrafting Javonte Williams. Like, I really like
what he could do there with a little bit more. The way that
any
Seattle,
concern about Gordon's mix in there, though?
That is
sorry, Mike.
They do mix them, but they do utilize both of them.
Yeah.
And I know that Javonte Williams impressed last year, and I'm wondering if there's going to be more of a hey, let's get him the first load carries.
Wonder if in different way, but Himes and Taylor in Indy, and then all of a sudden Taylor was the guy in his second year. They said, okay, this makes sense. He's our one. Our two.
That's kind of how I feel.
People in Denver might be feeling that way in that combination.
Okay, interesting.
But I don't know. I mean, we'll find out.
Yeah, and that I know we talk about it sometimes. That's one of the fun parts about the card market right there is, like, I know it's still driven so much by quarterbacks in the NFL market, but if you're like, Javonte Williams is the guy, he's ready to be the guy, and, like, you buy a bunch of those cards, probably not for very much money, you can always flip for a profit, and that's one of the fun parts about cards is you get to show you're right via money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't just be like, I told you Javonte Williams was going to be good. You can be like, I made $273 profit this season off of Javonte Williams.
So you're suggesting that I go ahead and buy this Kareem Abdul-Jabbar card right now, is what you're saying.
About former running back.
The thing about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
the Miami Dolphins.
Not
we're in football nuggets.
Yes. That's not even the segment we're doing right now.
This is a very different segment, Mike.
I don't know how much is going to change in the Kareem market the next month or two. Like, if you told me the Javonte Williams market is way different in 2 months, I'd be like, I could see that. I don't necessarily envision like a big change in the Kareem market, but you know.
Slow, gradual incline or what? What are your thoughts there?
Usually Hall of Fame cards aren't in the habit of like taking steep drops.
Right.
And I also feel like, here's my philosophy. I know you're an adult, but here's my philosophy. If we treat this like you were a kid, you've slept on it. You've thought about it. And this card has come back up numerous times. So I feel like you would like to buy this card.
It just keeps coming back into my life, and I'm like, eventually I'll just accept it, I guess.
That is very true, and look how well that's worked out. It's a shout-out Friday, and you guys have responded from the 817. This is pretty interesting. Shout-out to my twin brother and his wife. They'll be having their second baby, first boy, sometime this weekend. Great time to have a baby. And then this one's wild from the 321, wherever that is. Shout out to me for getting dumped by the love of my life last week and already going on a date with a new person this weekend.
Look at you.
Orlando.
Player's going to play, you know?
Fair enough, but let's help him out with one thing, or her, with one thing. Don't talk about your ex. Don't say it's a hard time because you just dumped the love of your life. I feel like unless you've established...
Show who the man you are right now.
Yeah.
You know, the man you're wanting to project what you want her to see.
See?
And
there
then and then revert back to talking to her later about it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece.
Like the Shania Twain song.
Mm-hmm.
Right here on 105 Through the Fan. Keep those shout-outs coming in. Plus, coming up next... Reckless, potentially borderline ridiculous predictions for the NFL season. What is yours? 877-881-1053. All of it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan from the 214. How can I get a late shout out to my fiance? We get married in 2 weeks. And Kevin said he wouldn't come to our wedding. I recall this very specifically.
Is it because it's not a weekday wedding?
No, I was like, we'll be in the midst of waiting for the baby. I just don't know. I've been trying to not make plans, so I have to cancel those plans.
You should wear a tuxedo on Monday.
Okay,
for Noah.
That is, I'm sure he would really appreciate
really
that.
Really dressed to the nines. So then when you're holding Noah for the first time, you're in a tux.
Oh, man. That is actually, that's a pretty smart bit right there. All right. Now, reckless, potentially borderline ridiculous NFL predictions. Because I was reading an article in the Big Lead, and they made two bold predictions. And I actually...
Cowboys win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that would be a very potentially ridiculous, perhaps absurd prediction. I actually don't know if I think that one of their predictions is absurd. The other one I think is absurd. The Arizona Cardinals will finish last in the NFC West.
You think that one's absurd?
I do think that's absurd. If you decide that Geno Smith or Drew Lock is your quarterback, I think you have decided your season is over.
Yeah, I agree. Although there is part of me that's thinking about getting DK Metcalf, even though I know better. I'm like,
who's
I know
throw
better.
Him the ball?
I know better than to take DK Metcalf.
This is the year.
It's not the year.
Man, Reggie
puts it all together.
But I will say this. Sometimes those great wide receivers still figure out a way to get numbers in those situations.
And the other one, Corey, I do not believe you will think is absurd whatsoever. The Indianapolis Colts will play in the AFC Championship game.
I would be, listen, it's difficult to get to the AFC Championship game, but I do think that you're not going to see a, hey, for the Colts to get into the playoffs, they have to beat the Jaguars at the end of the season and then the fall apart. That's not going to happen, I don't think, with Matt Ryan. Now, I think Matt Ryan is a quality quarterback with something left. Maybe it's the Stafford thing where it's just the right team, just the right quarterback.
I'll definitely
and everything
admit if I'm
out.
Wrong about that.
But I'm really, that's where I am. If they play in the AFC Championship game, that would be a pretty special thing because it's difficult to win in the playoffs.
Now, we asked for your predictions. I want to know if y'all have any as well. And some of these are pretty fascinating is, and we're getting a lot, so I'm sorry I did not catch the number right here. Mike Tomlin will have his first losing season, and that person said they were a Steelers fan.
Wow, that could be, like, is that too far out there to consider? Because
I don't think
Tomlin
so.
Doesn't do that.
I mean, I was going to say they have a quarterback problem, but I guess they're probably at least equal or upgraded from last year's quarterback.
That's right.
Yeah. But supposedly Mitchell Trubisky has also looked just god-awful in training camp.
I am shocked, honestly.
In his fifth or sixth year in the NFL, he's not good now?
Yeah. Who would have guessed?
Usually they say after 4 years of bad play, the fifth year's the lucky one.
Now, I think that you just made that up, but their division, they could catch a break because I think the Bengals will be good again. I think the Ravens will be better. But, I mean, Cleveland could be terrible or subpar for sure. So they might catch a break in that. But I think it is reasonable to project that Mike Tomlin will have his first losing season.
I'm trying to find the exact number here because I really want to know where he might stand, but my wild prediction is that Josh Allen breaks the single season all-purpose quarterback's yards number this year. I don't know what that is, but I want to know who has the most, whether it's passing and running together.
Oh,
even add in his receiving yards.
I think that's a good bit because I bet you the answer is not that much higher than the passing answer. Because, like, if you look at the quarterbacks who are at the top of the heap of most singular passing yards, there's a lot of slow-footed people in that list. So I think that is an interesting point.
Because, like, the all-purpose leader of all time is 2011 Darren Sproles at 2696. Like, Josh Allen can do that in throwing alone. But I want to see if he can get to like that 5,000 number. And
that does not count. That is for a non-quarterback.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if he can get to that 5,000 number and rushing and adding like a, 500 yards rushing, like where would that put him? So I want to see what that is.
From the 469, Baker Mayfield will finish as a top 10 quarterback this season. All right, let me, hold on just 1 second, Mike. Let me ask you this. If by every metric, wins and losses, yards, touchdowns, he's like top 10. Will you believe he's a top 10 quarterback? Because it's probably unfair, but I think if he even accomplishes all those things, I'll be like, probably not.
I guess if he does all those and the Carolina Panthers go 11-6 and make the playoffs, then you can maybe consider him a top 10 quarterback.
But I think it's highly unlikely. However, for your borderline ridiculous prediction. So that's a good one.
Borderline ridiculous prediction.
Carolina Panthers win it all.
Stop it.
The Beatles and Jesus arrive at Red Rocks, and then so does Antonio Brown. And he then becomes the leading receiver for Russell Wilson. Cortland Sutton and Judy are non-existent on the team, but the two of them end up have been the best duo in the league.
What happens with that Denver team then?
They go to Red Rocks and enjoy the concerts.
Okay, do they have success as a team?
And the Beatles.
And also,
what do we do with John Lennon and
Jesus?
John, Paul, Ringo.
George
Harrison. Mm-hmm. What do we do with those two guys?
Well, Antonio Brown will replace one of them, at least. Probably both of them.
He's like, I can take all three roles.
And was he just stealing Kanye's bit when Kanye was like, I'm jealous of the concert goers because they get to see me, Kanye?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But he's tight with Kanye, though. So, like, that's one of the things going on there. That is two egos just loving life.
Why does that not surprise me? From the 682, the Jags will win 7 games. That would be a heck of a jump up for them. Your Trevor Lawrence
cards
would probably go up.
I'm looking at 6-11 this year when I look at what I think the Jaguars can do. So anything over 6, I think, is a hell of a season for them. That being
said,
on
the flip side, anything below 6,
yeah,
you stalled out?
I think, yeah, you go 5-12, and I'm like, dang it. Like, they're still a long way away. You know what's interesting is how you've licked your fingers multiple times in this segment, but then you wipe them with your napkin. So then I don't get it. So why would you lick your fingers but then wipe them with a napkin? But I'll move on, as that irritates the hell out of me, and I can't not say it. Sorry, people who get mad at that. I think that the Jaguars are going to be 6-11, But still, I don't think even 7-10, I don't think is going to excite people for the next year.
Which is surprising because that is a gigantic jump, and I think it should. And
then Cincinnati kind of ruined it for, like, if a team makes the jump from worst second team year, to 7-10. Like, well, yeah, but Joe Burrow just took his team to the Super Bowl.
You didn't go to the Super Bowl, so now I'm out on that. I like this one. Now we're getting to the crazy predictions that I think have Cowboys fans excited. Diggs will intercept at least 8 passes and catch 2 touchdowns. Now, my question about that is that 2 offensive touchdowns?
I think so.
Then?
I think that's what they're saying.
Not catch the ball and run it back for a pick 6, and that doesn't count?
This is one of those, Kevin, where you keep saying line them up out there and throw to them every time.
Yeah.
And then don't throw to them in the big situation.
They'll have no idea what to do.
I think they're just like, these are the 2 times where nobody is expecting him to get the ball. They're like, they're not throwing to him. Just put the 3rd corner on him. He goes out there and toasts him.
Will there ever be another Deion Sanders in that the way the Cowboys used him?
I do. Mike, you saw Diggs up close. He's not built like Deion. Deion seemed trimmer. And for me, Diggs looks like a bigger guy. And like he looks like he could play safety.
Right, and Diggs isn't fast. I'm not saying he's slow. He's not.
He's smooth.
Like, Deion was arguably the fastest player in the NFL. In 1995, you had a cornerback who was also the fastest player in the NFL. No receiver was faster than him, so you could do some things where you're like, just run fast. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the play, Deion. Run fast, and Troy's going to try to throw it to you down the field. It worked in the Super Bowl for a play. I don't know when people make this Diggs thing. I know they're having fun with it, and I know we have fun with it, but, I mean, Diggs doesn't show any capabilities. Hell, his own coach in college who recruited him is like, I don't think you're going to be a receiver, dude.
Mm-hmm.
In college, he's like, I don't think you can be like your brother.
Or did he say you're going to be a better cornerback than you will receive? I think that's the way that he said it. Yeah. You're going to be better at this.
For sure.
And we need this.
I don't know if he would have really found the field at Alabama when you look at all the receivers that were there during his time, whether it was Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, keep going down the list. And I just think that if he can't compete with those guys in Alabama, he probably, after not doing it for 4 or 5 years, can't compete in the NFL as one.
From the 817, my bold, potentially ridiculous prediction, Stafford has lingering elbow issues and the Rams miss the playoffs. Now, that would reshape kind of what some people are anticipating, especially in that division, let alone in the hierarchy of the NFC. But if we're reading the good ones, I have to read the bad ones from the 469. Cowboys will start the season at 1-5. If they start at 1-5, it's time to, for whatever reason, it's time to reevaluate a whole lot of things.
Because, what are you reevaluating first?
If my quarterback was healthy the entire time and led us to 1-5.
So you're not evaluating the coach as much as you are the quarterback.
That evaluation period is done. If we're at 1-5, that decision is already made.
I assume they're saying we only beat the Giants, because I would say the start of the year, that's kind of a tougher schedule. Bucks, Bengals, Giants, Commanders, then Rams, Eagles. And the Rams and Eagles are both on the road.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see them going 2-4 to start the year. I just have a tough time watching the Giants and Commanders at the end of last year and going,
for sure,
we can't go to New York and win. They're horrible. And then Washington is horrible on a piece of paper right now.
So you're saying if they're 1-5, you're going full Vanya, and you're just across the entire thing.
Yes,
we beat the Bears, and then we're right back in it.
From the 214, Reggie, Cowboys price is right. Dak will throw for 400 yards in a loss to the Bucks and yell,
like a boss!
Thank you, David Murphy, for always helping out.
Now, from the 817, and I think this comes up just because whatever Mike loves sometimes agitates people.
Oh, what do I love?
Trevor Lawrence. From the 817, this will be the year that people will know that Trevor Lawrence is a bust. Man, second year already, I guess I could see it. First year wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great.
What would quantify bust? Because if they lose games and he's throwing interceptions, I could go, man, I don't know how he's ever going to get out of this funk, but if they win, I don't know, 6 games?
Yeah, like we talked about, 6 or 7.
He has a better touchdown to interception ratio. I'm good with that.
I would bet this. Even Will McClay with true serum in him, all 32 general managers, Jerry doesn't count, all 32 real people who do football stuff.
You said Will McClay.
Yeah. They would take Trevor Lawrence over Dak Prescott.
You think all 32?
I think all 32. I think they would say his talent is far superior to Dak Prescott's. He's going to be better than Dak Prescott, even if we think Dak Prescott is a little bit better right now. If we give Trevor Lawrence the right pieces around him, we've seen him in college, what he did. We've seen him in high school, what he did. His body, his he's more athletic than Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he's faster. He's stronger. He throws the ball better. Dak has maybe better leadership skills, except this dude led his team to a national championship as a freshman and led him to another national championship game. What does Dak do better than Trevor Lawrence?
I think that's a very intriguing discussion that we could have again on Monday. I predict, last prediction, Kevin, that Kirk Cousins will test positive for COVID and miss Sunday's game.
Okay, didn't that already happen?
Oh, yeah, it did. It did happen.
I thought they weren't testing anymore in the NFL.
He tested for positive. He's missing Sunday's game.
I mean, he had symptoms of finding out the game
later in the day. Then they test you after symptoms?
Yeah, and he was like, I can't. I tested positive for scared.
We can't make COVID jokes.
We're the KNC masterpiece. We can't?
We shouldn't.
It's hard, though, because you tell one, I tell one, they're infectious. Coming up next, it's time. You love that joke. Don't pretend like you didn't. Coming up next, it's time for more of your shout-outs and Mike likes it.
I like what kids in Wyoming are doing with batting gloves next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. I want to turn your attention really quick to 122. We will have the newest acquisition from FC Dallas, Sebastian Legette. His girlfriend is Becky G, who I don't know if y'all know who that is. She is an Instagram sensation.
She's a singer.
She has more than 33 million followers on Instagram.
So you're going to ask him what it feels like to be less famous?
I might have phrased it just like that, but I will consider that. Okay. And then also from the 469, shout out to all those women in police uniforms out there. Thank you very much for keeping us safe. Now, it's time for some Mike Likes It.
All right, let's start off with the Little League Regional World Series stuff going on to reach, where is it called? Pennsylvania, somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Williamsport.
Yeah. So Wyoming's playing yesterday.
You showed me this. This is amazing.
This is awesome. So there's a kid that comes up to bat, and it's Wyoming.
Right.
So maybe they don't have Franklin's.
Right.
Or, you know, a whole bunch of different companies now that make batting
Benjamin
gloves.
Franklin's.
Mm-hmm.
And so he decides, Reggie, he's like, you know what I use for batting gloves? The same thing I do to saw trees down. The same thing I do to pick weeds.
Oh, he got some work gloves?
He has on just your tan hide work gloves.
And he's going to work.
And he's dropping bombs. He hits a home run with those work gloves on, and it's making the rounds on Twitter. I believe I retweeted it, and it's pretty funny. That being said, I can remember when I coached at Episcopal School of Dallas about 12 years ago, one of the kids who was a freshman there was wearing those work gloves to take batting practice in.
Did it make you sad?
Yeah, I was like, wait a second. What's going on here? And he goes, I like the feel of these better. And I'm like, so you've tried on batting gloves that they make for hitting baseballs, and you've decided that these work gloves that are thick and not nearly as kind of a feel for the bat, you like these better? And he's like, yeah, I like these better.
Did you let him keep them?
He used them. I mean, he was horrible at baseball, but...
Do you think he was horrible at baseball because of that? Or
not
he,
at all.
Okay.
Not at all. But... I mean, usually when somebody makes the decision, these are better than the baseball gloves that you have.
Right.
You might not have the best feel for this game. But So anyways, I have seen it happen before here in our Metroplex in about 2010, 2011. We did have a kid who used those same work gloves, and they did not drop bombs on the other team.
Did you make an assumption before he started playing that he would not be great?
100%.
Okay.
Oh, no.
100%.
You knew he was going to say that.
I was like, this is not going to go well, and it did.
Oh, this makes so much sense from the 702. Used to use work gloves to hit at K-State. Loved them. Thick grip without taping the bat up. That's a very ag school type response there.
Yeah. Shout out to K-State and Reggie.
They're cool.
Yeah, they win a lot of baseball games.
They really do.
All right, next one. Yesterday, we had a little bit of a shorter show. We had an hour and a half off.
I don't know what you're talking about. I had a four-hour show.
Yeah, well, sucks to be you.
Get right. 7-Eleven right here on the fan
is
was also work.
Oh, yeah, it was good to be you yesterday because you got your show.
That's true.
And starting in, whatever, October 5th-ish?
Something about then.
You get to do the show until March 30th.
That's right.
I would love it, Mike, if you're our point person for all PR and not giving copy points. Whatever, dumbass. You know when the baseball season ends, so listen, 7-11.
Yeah. When the baseball season ends, the Get Right goes full time.
Yeah,
when the
right.
baseball season starts, they're screwed.
Do you really even need to know
that? A little
bit. If you just Tolo, if you just turn on Leave It On, you'll find it.
Right.
Instead of having a no-win show start, just Tolo.
Yeah.
All right. So yesterday, we get a little bit more off time. I went and played golf with Derek Holland and his brother and his friends. It was really fun. That being said, here's my question for you two guys. Corey, you can go first if you'd like. What do you wish you had more time for in your life? Or let's just say you didn't have a job.
Oh, okay.
You were actually good at baseball.
All right.
I wasn't good enough either, so I'm not taking a shot at you. Let's just say I was as good as Derek Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have to work after baseball ended. I know he's still trying to get back. I'm not saying his career is over. I'm just saying, like,
fishing
he probably
trips.
Doesn't have to do a real job for his life. He got to play baseball for his life, and then it made enough money that you don't have to work anymore.
Yeah, I'd probably go on a lot more fishing trips. Like, I take my grandpa fishing, like, every month. Me and the guys would go fishing as often as we could. And I'd want to go to different areas, not just lakes and ponds and stuff. I want to go some deep sea fishing, go catch some shark.
Cool.
I've caught a shark before, but it was, you know, like it was a 3-4 foot shark that was, you know, small. I could hold it in my hands. I want to catch a marlin. I would probably want to do something outdoorsy and near water.
I would like to travel. I really like traveling. I've been to 46 of the 50 states. I want to get to all of them, but I've also never left the continent. Like, I've been to Mexico and Canada, but I've always wanted to go to England, to Iceland. I would love time to travel.
Reggie, if you had all the free time in the world,
rewatch The Wire.
What would you want to do?
I do that anyways. I'm a little bit of a dork. Like, I wish I would read a lot more. Like, there's a lot of things I find interesting. I have a stack of books that I haven't. I know.
It's okay. It's your thing, you know.
Where are you reading? I would also watch more like TVs and stuff. What am I reading right now?
Where do you like to read?
Ooh.
Like in a window?
Library.
Hammock?
Ooh, yeah, hammock's nice.
Do you have a reading hammock?
I don't. If I had my own place with some space, I probably would. I go by the pool sometimes if it's nice out.
Yeah, I like
that. Or sometimes I'll just sit in the living room, light some candles, kind of have that space going.
My next question off of this, because I was thinking about this last night. How much time do you feel like you waste per day?
Yes.
Well, man, there's so much time I waste telling my kid to wake up or get going or do, you know, like I feel like that's wasted time. So probably 6 hours of wasted time a day. Because there are also moments like I'm gonna leave here. Kids get out at 2:45, Kevin. All right, yeah. They get out of school at 2:45. Yeah. I get there at like 2:30 to get a good parking spot.
Yep.
That's 15 minutes of wasted time.
Right.
What do I do in between that time? Watch TikToks.
Fact.
Or go for a walk. So sometimes I waste time. So I would say maybe 6 hours.
I feel like a
hours.
Walk would be a good,
yeah. That is a good
like,
use.
That's
that
a good,
is a good
use of
time.
Your time.
Yeah.
But like watching TikTok, watching possibly just television, you know, I think there's quite a bit of time in my life that I was thinking about, you know, I wish I did this or wish I had more time for that. But then I think, well, I do waste my time watching television or on my phone, which I guess if I eliminated that, I'd have more time for those things.
So, okay, you brought up something that I think there's an interesting distinction between, because I do not think I waste a lot of time based on what is on my agenda. But if you, the way you described it, sometimes on my agenda will be, I'm going to start watching Sandman or whatever the new, you know, Netflix show is. But if we just constitute watching TV as a waste of time, oh my God, so
well,
much time.
I would say like maybe like at the end of your life.
Sure.
Would you be like, man, thank God I watched The Sandman.
Yeah, no, Probably not, but this is the time. Is I remember I'm kind of hopeful that this is, again, and this is probably far too optimistic, is I have trouble sleeping anyway. And so one of the things I loved about when Brandon was a baby is I never went out because I was like, we got to take care of the baby. But then I could watch like whatever and I didn't feel bad about it because I was like, well, I can't leave the house. I have to take care of the baby. Mm-hmm. So,
but the baby.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe I'll get back into that groove again.
Reggie?
Sorry, I got
He said yes, Reggie which never means wastes a lot
time.
Of time.
Reggie doesn't waste
no,
time.
No, he definitely does.
I try not to waste time, but yeah, it's probably like watching TV and stuff, especially TV shows that I'm like, I don't know if I'm still interested in this, but I'm...
That was going to be a segment.
Got to keep going with it.
Next question. Have you set aside the time you're going to watch this Cowboys game tomorrow night? Will you start watching at 8 p.m.? Will you watch... I'm sure on CBS 11, you can listen to here. I should just say, listen to here. We have a pregame show starting at some time.
It starts at 5 o'clock. Kevin Gray and Bobby Belder on from 1 to 5. Pregame starts at 5, kickoff 8:05 on The Fan.
So when will you start watching this game? I'm going to assume this. I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing Saturday, but best case scenario, I start watching this game at 9 p.m. Worst case scenario, I watch it on Sunday.
Best case scenario, I think is Sunday for me. Like, I really do.
What time is it again?
8 p.m.
8:05 kickoff right here in the fan.
I got to pick up the wife from the airport. I'm trying to figure out what time that all is going down because I had a bunch of things I wanted to get accomplished, but I got to get her. So I'll probably start it. If I'm home, I'll start it right when it's on. I might even cook something to set up for
it.
Just so I can have some food to
eat. Like some ribs or something?
I got these bacon-wrapped sausage is what I'm smoked bacon-wrapped sausage and some smoked chicken breasts.
Yeah, that sounds like a night.
Yeah.
Last thing, and Mike likes it. I had so much fun bowling with the family in Oxnard.
Yes.
Is I'm thinking about going bowling Saturday night with the family, but is Saturday night bowling, help me out. If you're a bowler in the Metroplex, is that a dumb idea? Is
Saturday
it going to be
fever.
Full? Do you have to reserve lanes?
They also jack up the prices then stuff. So, I mean, bowling is insanely expensive now. Anyway.
You want to bowl like Wednesday morning at like 10 o'clock.
Well, I wasn't going to say
working.
Well, he's got the show.
But you should do like a bowling night in the middle of the week. It's a nice little family retreat, break up the monotony of the week. And
Your family could be a team in the league, and that would be amazing.
I don't know if we're that good.
But it could be fun. Like, just find
Gross.
Other family leagues. But here, man, that's what's going to happen.
I can't.
Mike would compete.
You would compete. I can't do the, just balk them to third. You know, type of deal. Like, we're all right.
I'm with you. The first, early on, and when me and my wife were dating, she invited me over to her friend's house, and we're going to have a game night. And she was like, do you want to be on my team? And I was like, no, because your philosophy is, I just hope everybody has fun. I want to be on your cutthroat friend's team, who's like, I will win no matter what. And I'm like, that's whose team I want to be on. With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, keep those shout-outs coming in. Plus, it's time for the C Block with Corey Majors.
Talk Cowboys. Next.
Okay.